It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A social media post questions the viability of a library. Area residents speak up about how their library touches their lives, and we dig into what transpired at Menominee Falls Public Library and how it moves forward as the village trustees tell the local Express News there's no discussion of closing it. Join in, call in with a question, comments about library issues, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Ian Dickman is a former board member of the Menominee Falls Public Library. Ian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning. And Andrew Gus is here, co-leader of Grassroots of Menominee Falls Area. That's a group seeking to stop future cuts or closure of the library. Andy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Yes, Andy, let's start with you. You and others in Menominee Falls are really concerned the library is under threat of budget cuts or closing. Take us into those concerns. What are they?
Sure. So some concerns that we do have about the library is the plan to really defund the public library is deeply concerning to all the residents of Menominee Falls. And what we see is cutting library funding would have really a direct impact on the quality and accessibility of services, programs, limiting educational opportunity for children, teens, and adults throughout. And we're also really concerned that it could result in reduced access to books, technology, research materials, and other resources that residents rely on for personal and professional growth. We heard of a lot of that last week, Monday, at the village board meeting where people use the library for all sorts of different things that I wasn't even aware of. We had one village resident that had used the library for their college application to Harvard when their internet was out. Well, guess what? They're going to Harvard. So that's what some of our concerns are the plan here to really defund or make budget cuts to our public library.
Andy, has the library been underfunded, or has it had budget pressures like this before?
I would say yes. Last year in November 2022, there was a village board meeting in regards to the library budget, and we had a village board trustee, Steve Taggart, had first asked for $300,000 to be removed from the library. And he wanted it to be moved anywhere but to go to the library. So at this point, yes, we've already seen some budget cuts being made. And this budget cut here, without the money that was allotted in the budget, they couldn't move forward with the children's area, unfortunately.
Ian, you are among the board members who had their reappointments rejected. Your term ended at the beginning of June. Why do you think your reappointment was rejected?
That's a good question. It's one that was never directly expressed to me from Village Board. When the public vote came up, it was a 1-6 vote with zero discussion. I've read some comments that various community members have received from trustees. Sometimes it's been tied back to how we handled COVID, the closures, the stay at home,
pandemic,
that type
shutdown
of things.
Okay.
Exactly. Which is interesting to me because as long as I was a board member of the library, we were functioning. People were checking out books. Online services were being provided. We were never a closed library during the time, of the pandemic, the main part of the pandemic. So the actual stay at home order, for example, when the library was entirely shut down, occurred before I was even on the library board. Hmm. My term started in September 2020. So that was months after. So it's been a really mixed bag of messages and nothing, concrete directly to me. I suspect they've got their own, the village board has their own handpicked replacements that they just want to put in the seat and, potentially manage these budget cuts that, we're so concerned about.
how much control does the library board have over the operations of the library and how it's funded?
Yeah, so when it comes to the actual funding, we don't really have much control at all. We propose our budget. So, you know, we build our case as far as what we need and work with Village Hall to show what kind of funds we need to operate to you know, pay our staff, buy our materials, meet the county standards, which is a big deal. The Menai Falls Library needs to meet county standards or else we fall in jeopardy of having to pay, the village has to pay a county tax, basically as if we don't have a library. So that's something that we as a board are very focused on, is making sure that, you know, we don't want to just be the minimum to start with. We obviously want to excel. We want to provide the best library that we possibly can, but we have to meet those minimums. And with budget cuts, that becomes a huge concern because Menai Falls is a growing community. It's a fantastic community. We have a lot of families moving to the area. And as our population increases, we, to meet these county standards, we have to buy more books, for example. We have to make sure that we have certain hours for the library program. So if we don't have these things, then we're going to miss the minimum. And then Menai Falls is in jeopardy of a substantial tax, since we will no longer be exempt from the county library tax.
Talking with former Menominee Falls Library board member Ian Dickman there, and Andy Gus with us, co-leader of Grassroots of Menominee Falls Area. You can join in with your questions and comments about library operations. The number to join in is 800-642-1234. So, Andy, last week during a village board meeting, dozens of people, they come out to support the library, and together residents spoke for nearly an hour. Why is the library meaningful to you?
I think the library is really meaningful for me is because of all of the long-term benefits that it has for the community. Well, and Ian hinted on it well, a well-funded library is going to be able to attract, you know, new residents. It supports local businesses. It enhances property values. But at the end of the day, it's about seeing all of the community in one place. I like going to the library. I don't do a ton of book rent. I don't use it for books. I use it for more of a research purpose. But I like going there just to see the cultural fabric of the community there. And that's what's really important to me. And that's why I find the library and I want to make sure that everyone has equal access to, you know, information, technology, and resources that everybody can get.
Ian, can you, I guess, draw us closer to this library that is set in a village? Who are its patrons? About how far do people travel to visit this local library? And you say it's a growing community.
Yeah, I believe I just read the number there today. We have 16,000 library card members, holders at the moment, which is a substantial amount of people. We're every month we are setting, you know, new highs as far as how many new library cards we're registering. It's fantastic. You know, obviously our core users are the Menai Falls residents, but that's not limited to that. With the Bridges library system here in Waukesha County, you can hop from library to library. You can check out books from our library if your library doesn't have that. You know, we do serve a small amount of people from even places like Milwaukee. They can sign up. There's additional fees from that, but, you know, we do serve part of even a slight sliver of Milwaukee for those who, you know, need to come to our library. So it's predominantly Menai Falls, but is, you know, that area outside of just the residents here.
There's an overlap. Andy, you know, libraries across the nation are under scrutiny over the books that they are putting on shelves, books with characters who are people of color, members of the LGBTQ plus community. They're facing pressure. Is book banning a concern in Menominee Falls?
Absolutely, it's a concern. We've already gone through some book banning and some new book policies with our school board the past year, where we have a brand new policy in place on the school board. And when we spoke at the library board meeting with Village Trustee Brad Juber, he had mentioned, and that was on May 17th, he had mentioned that there would be book reviews coming from the community that were too apprehensive to submit reviews. So we are expecting book reviews or book bans to start coming locally and affecting us really here at the next meeting.
What books might the library consider banning? Do you know?
I don't know the entire list. I do know that there is a list that different groups have been pushing. You know, a list of 100 books here, lists of different 100 books here, different categories, like you mentioned. And so that's what we're really concerned about. We'll be looking, you know, once these concerns or if there's book bans coming up, my organization will be looking into that just to make sure that to see what books are looking to be removed.
Ian, I'm going to reference here some news. Our neighbor Illinois just became the first state to prohibit book banning. The governor there signed the bill into law yesterday. Should Wisconsin follow suit?
Absolutely. That put a smile on my face when I woke up this morning and I read the news and I saw that they passed that. You know, the Mount Falls Public Library currently, as you know, our policy stands, support the American Library Association's Library Bill of Rights, which very much they're using in that bill, in Illinois' bill. And I agree. I think public libraries are for the public. They're very much based around the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and, you know, sharing knowledge. And we understand there are items that some people, for political reasons, you know, personal reasons, may not agree with, but they don't have to check those books out either. But we want to make sure that everything is accessible for anybody who wants to come and, you know, read those books or read those materials or attend programs.
Ian Dickman is a former board member of the Menominee Falls Public Library. Andy Guss with us, co-leader of a Menominee Falls group seeking to prevent library budget cuts or of the library's closure. You can join in at any point about libraries. Call in with a question, a comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Public libraries across the country and here in Wisconsin under increasing scrutiny with book challenges, funding pressures. Call in with your questions, your thoughts about the role of libraries, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ian Dickman is a former board member of the Menominee Falls Public Library, and Andy Guss is a co-leader of a Menominee Falls group seeking to prevent library budget cuts or the library's closure. Andy, Menominee Falls Village board members and village leaders, including the manager, Mark Fitzgerald, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that there is no plan to close the library. Do their comments ease your concerns at all?
Great question, but the answer is no. I think here with what we were able to uncover with the open records requests, I believe we brought attention to something that they weren't ready to bring out, or they were trying to hide from the community. So their comments their email comments to community members, as well as public comments to like the Journal Sentinel, I believe is more of a, we should wait and see until November when the budget comes and see if they're going to really back up what they say.
Ian, how do you digest the reaction?
It's concerning. It's also not entirely new. We've had trustees, specifically Trustee Taggart, Trustee Tata, have indicated the desire to make budget cuts, dating back now probably till 2020, or 2021. So the last 2 years, we already covered earlier, they did reduce our budget last budget year in November by $250,000. So they've indicated that they think we're overfunded, which is really a shame, because like I said, we think we produce an amazing library that the public obviously loves. The response to the last village board meeting was phenomenal.
What happens?
So I think, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
What happens when a library budget is cut? Like, what is on the front lines of being reduced or eliminated when you do get a budget cut?
Yep. So obviously, you're going to start cutting peripheral things, programs, children's programs, adult programs. Those take resources from our staffs. The hours of the library, prior, the first thing that's going to be cut back. There's only so many hours that they can cut without, again, going below the minimum threshold. But you would lose hours, staff. We have a large building that we need to staff. We have to keep people on different floors. You always want to have somebody in the children's department, for example, so that becomes a concern. And then materials, books with inflation. Books are not cheaper today than they were yesterday. So we have to continue to buy materials. And if we don't have the funds to buy the materials, either we're going to end up with fewer materials, and again, risk not hitting our thresholds, or you're going to have worse books, a worse collection of books in the library. So those are kind of the primary things that I expect would have to be cut.
Let's bring on a call now. Kevin in Janesville. Kevin, hi. What is your comment?
Hi. My wife and I absolutely love our local library. And as we do our state tourism tour, we make it a point to visit whatever town's library we happen to be in. As we're looking for a place to retire later on, that is going to be a huge factor of where we decide to settle down. And as far as book banning is concerned, people, you have the right to not read it, but you don't have the right to tell me I can't.
Kevin, thanks so much for calling in. It's interesting there how Andy, Kevin saying that, they check out libraries as they tour around the state, and it will have an impact on where they set down in retirement. What do you make of that?
As I mentioned earlier, the library has a ton of long-term benefits. And as I mentioned, the well-funded library is going to attract new residents like Kevin. It's going to enhance our property values as people come in. And I think it's great that that individuals like Kevin can, visit and really determine where they live based on the community resources. And I see the library as kind of is a mecca of the village. It's a great place, as I mentioned, to come together, whether it's for book club or some different programs, or just maybe your group is meeting there. I think the long-term benefits of a library outweigh any of the budget cuts.
We have Andy Guss there, co-leader of Grassroots of Menominee Falls Area, and former Menominee Falls Library Board member Ian Dickman. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Ian, I'm wondering, as people hear a conversation focused on one library, Menominee Falls, what should they take away in terms of the questions we should be asking about our own public libraries in our own communities?
I think we need to, recognize that they're not necessarily a given. It's easy to take for granted that we have this amazing library. It's been here. I've lived in Menominee Falls over 17 years, and it's always been this amazing library that we've had. But just because it's fantastic today doesn't mean it's going to continue that way. It's something you have to stay on top of. It requires the funding. It requires a strong leadership through both the library board as well as the director. And that's how you get amazing things like the various programs that we do put on, the new tween space that we are building out for those kids in between children's age and teens. We have a maker space, the Forge. These things don't happen by accident. They require planning. They require funding. And I think they are fantastic for the community because like our caller said, like Andy said, these are things that people look for when moving to a community. These are things that raise property values. They're really important to the community.
Andy, you know, how has the situation changed the dynamic of the Menominee Falls community as the library situation goes on?
I think what it really comes down to is community engagement. My organization has been really committed to mobilizing the community and raising awareness about the potential consequences of budget cuts. We saw a direct result of a simple email and social media post last week where we had a packed room at the village board meeting. So I think people love I was very surprised. I told a lot of my friends I was very surprised about the reaction that we did receive. And I was very excited. And I mean, I left Monday very excited about the future of Menominee Falls, that people were there to care and they were there to advocate for the library's preservation.
In just a few seconds here left, but what are you watching for next with the Menominee Falls Public Library?
Yep. Two things that we've kind of covered. Book bans. I expect some requests to be discussed rather shortly. And then the second will be whether the village board approves funding the minimum amount of the library that they are required to. And then ultimately the November budget, which is where they need to fund, beyond the minimum, what we actually need for the library to meet its goals and continue to operate.
Ian and Andy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Ian Dickman is a former board member of the Menominee Falls Library. Andy Gus, co-leader of Grassroots of Menominee Falls Area, group seeking to stop future cuts or closure of the library. You can check out our program page to find more conversations from the morning show. Visit wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.